to put today over the internet, if you close the circle, Elvis will not return. Unless the circle, there we go. We were going to put this on the internet today, but we decided that we weren't going to give up our minutes. So it's a kind of a fun little setup we have where we can talk through a cell phone, goes back to our house, through the computer, and out into the World Wide Web, which is not supposed to be, you should not confuse with the wide world of wrestling. This is Vincent Irene. We are here today at the Software Engineering Institute, and we're trying to have a little speak out against the war that is going on now. We had a lot more people here last time. It seems like when people are scared of war, attendance is better. But anyways, there is a war going on now, and it's very, and this isn't going to be wished away. It's not something that we're going to be nice and good people and earn a dollar and send it to the White House and they'll send it to the refugees. This is going to be a long, protracted war, and it's going to take some conservative effort and some militant action to oppose the war that is going on and the war that President Bush said is going to go on for years. And so the first thing I'll do is read something that I wrote. It's a, maybe someone has here, so I don't have to bend down. Yeah. Okay, there we go. This is the 12-point recovery plan for the war. There we go. There we go. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, so if you want to recover from the war, this is the best way to do it, and it will not fail. If we could close those windows there and put her in the sun. The first point for people trying to recover from this war and my peace plan will be not to watch CNN. Read all you can about Afghanistan, their history, their culture, literature, and art. Read all that you can about Afghanistan. And as soon as you get home, start trading Afghani recipes. Number two, notice that the same people up front going on and on and on at peace rallies, notice and do something different, more colorful and creative. Number three, follow the development of the Afghani refugees and raise money for the millions displaced from Afghanistan. Right now we have about 5 million people who have been displaced from Afghanistan before and during the war. And if there's one thing this country knows how to do, it knows how to make people homeless. Number four, download, read, and listen to Michael Moore. Remember Michael Moore? He had a little movie called Roger and Me. Download, read, and listen to Michael Moore's anti-war letters. And you can find it, surprisingly enough, at www.michaelmoore.com. And these are the best, whether that be in print or audio, him reading these letters or them printed out, this has been the best. You know, even someone like my father could understand it. Number five, think, would Joe Sixpack understand why we are against the war? So that's really important. I've watched different conversations as people go by here and in other situations that people are explaining about how we're giving money to Israel and how that, you know, that the roosters have come home to roost and stuff the chickens have come home to roost with the roosters or something like that. And, you know, this is not going to be understood. This is not helpful. So we need to, you know, dumb it down a little bit for people in Pittsburgh who have not gone to the University of Pittsburgh and explain to them why we are against this war. It's very important that we have a really wide, diverse peace movement. Number six, let's look at the connections, not the conflicts, between globalization and America's new war. What has happened is, there we go, we have really good movement going against the globalization throughout the world. And now everyone's fighting whether we should commit our times to globalization or whether we should commit ourselves against the war. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that it was globalization that caused this war and the wars to come. Number seven, if someone turns off the mic when a pro-war folk want to speak, grab a few of your buddies and turn the power back on. I was in an anti-war rally. I won't say where. I was in an anti-war rally, and the Democrat Nazis decided that they didn't want nobody to speak but them, and so they turned the microphone off. And I guarantee you that if they would have allowed them to speak, these people would have been so horrified at what they had to say that they would be out here with us. So, you know, we don't need, you know, the sort of liberal thing where, you know, this is our event, we don't want anyone else to speak. Free speech is important, and I think that we're people enough, we're man enough and woman enough that we can handle the criticisms of our opponents. Or maybe you're not able to handle that, but you should. Okay, let me see. Okay, now listen very carefully, especially those of you who are taking notes. Blow up your TV, move to the country, build yourself a home. Eat a lot of peaches and try to fight God on your own. The peace movement can be a rat race, too. You think there's competition and bad blood between the churches. You should see the denominationalism in the peace movement. It is phenomenal. I want to be up front. I want to be up charge. You can't speak. You shut up. You get out of here. And so what we need to do is we need to realize that the peace movement can be a rat race, too. So spend as much time as you can in Blackwater Falls. About an hour and a half south of here in West Virginia starts one of the biggest federal forces, and it's really important. We need to be contemplative, and we need to really have thoughtful action and not just marching around trying to marching around with our placards. Okay, if you are at a peace rally, excuse me, give me a second here. We're having a little speak out. You're next. If you are at a peace rally, and people are trying to figure out what rhymes with 1, 2, 3, 4, calmly get on a bus and go home. Number 10, levitate. We all know what levitate means. Levitate your local press and military think tanks. So we're going to be levitating SCI later on today. Number 11, we're almost to the end now. At our anti-war speak out here, it's my $29 tape recorder. Get on the Revolutionary Afghani Women's Association emailing list. Very simply, rawa.com, R-A-W-A, rawa.com. And that is the best that you'll find on the net. If you want to understand the war, you want to understand what's going on with the Afghani people, if you want to meet people from Afghanistan who are against the war and against bin Laden, then these women are really the key to all of this. It's really hilarious. Tomorrow we're having a fundraiser at the Brew House tomorrow at 6, between 6 and 9. And people would say, well, Vince, where's the money going? I said, well, the money's going to the Revolutionary Afghani Women's Association. And people would pass out. They go, revolutionary? I'm not giving any of my money to them. Number 12, and this is a little out there now, so you're going to have to really work at this one. Number 12, and the last point to a 12-point war recovery program is download everything you can by this is on the new Napster. It's called Audio Galaxy. Audio Galaxy is the new Napster. Download everything you can by Firesign Theater. They were a comedy troupe during the anti-Vietnam War era. And listen to their stuff. It's absolutely hilarious. The last thing that Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania needs is another self-serious peace movement. So as Abby Hoffman taught us a long time ago and is still teaching us right this minute, that we need to learn what it is to laugh in the face of danger. And that is 1 through 12. Now, we can't have any gaps here, so people need to, like, run, you know, like, run up to the microphone, or else we'll have gaps on the tape and stuff like that, and say what you're thinking about what's going on with the war, and state your name before you get started.
Good So,
I was ready to think. Oh, okay. We just had a meeting of about 30, 40 people, of young people from CMU, Pitt, Duquesne, not Duquesne, but I mean, I think some people are going to come from Duquesne, but city activists around the city of Pittsburgh, where we organize a Pittsburgh anti-war coalition. We're going to organize a number of demonstrations. We think it's an important thing to do that. It may be self-serious, but we think it's an important thing to have a self-serious anti-war. You know, you can laugh, but we want to answer, you know, this government bombing and murder of Afghani people with an organized anti-war coalition in the city of Pittsburgh. So we're going to hold two rallies or two demonstrations within the coming month. One next week, so we're asking people to bring out as many people as possible. Next week, next Saturday, right? Saturday the 20th at 4 p.m., you know, we're going to march from Freedom Corner to the federal building and make one of the first citywide statements against this war. After that, on November 9th at 3 p.m., we're going to organize another citywide demonstration. We're going to try to actually, that'll be on a Friday, so we're going to actually try to not stop downtown traffic, but make a statement while downtown is very active, because on Saturday, obviously, it's not. But make a statement while downtown is very active, you know, our opposition to the war. So we're asking people to come out, bring as many people as they possibly can to this thing next Saturday, and there'll be leaflets and flyers soon all over the place. So just, you know, people keep that in mind. And keep also in mind that, you know, the citywide Pittsburgh Anti-War Coalition is having a meeting, a logistical meeting this Wednesday at 7 o'clock in the Cathedral of Learning in room 226, you know, to work on this, work on actually, you know, building the demonstration for Saturday. You can get in touch with, you know, Pete Shell or the Emergency Center, I forget you. Sam, with the Emergency Center, you know, just to get that. And we'll have a leaflet out in a little bit.
Great.
My name is Bob Maddock, and I go to a church called the Community Reconciliation, which you can't see over the radio, but it's two blocks from where we stand now. I am the chair of the Social Justice Committee, and hopefully over the years I've been working for justice. It seems to me that the spirits of 5,000 dead people, the loved ones of those 5,000 people, cry out for justice. But revenge is not justice. Killing innocent people is not justice. It's a desecration of justice. I cannot stand here and tell you what justice entails, but it certainly does not entail the death of innocent children. It does not entail a society where people will feel about themselves better about themselves so that they don't think that the only thing worthwhile they can do is kill themselves. I'm not sure what the answers are, but I know what the wrong answers are. And I'm going to do my best to make sure that people just don't hear the wrong answers. Thank you.
I could never work these things. Yeah, watch out. That's right. How about that guy who's coming in from window washing? He's really not having any fun now. Yeah, there's a guy in Maryland who's coming home with window washing. People claim that he had biological stuff in his window washing thing. And so the police finally admitted that the reason why everybody went to the hospital was because they sprayed him with pepper spray in a very confined area. So, yeah, I'll tell you, pretty soon we're going to send somebody out to arrest their shadows, you know, and make sure that they never, ever are able to harm anyone again. Okay, next in our anti-war speak out.
I'll go next. My name is Kenneth Miller. I'm with IWW 450 now here in Pittsburgh. We're printers. We went to Washington, D.C. on the 29th, and we thought that was a really good experience. There were 25,000 people there, which was a lot of people. It was a diverse group. There were religious people there. There were people from many, many different labor unions. It was fantastic, and it was a clear anti-war message. So We've sort of published this in hopes that people in Pittsburgh would be inspired, as we were by what happened there, and would consider working with the different groups that helped put that together. So we hope that the Anti-War Journal will be helpful for people who are interested in that. They've got some of the best thinkers and some of the best people who associate the issues of international law and international justice with being the standard by which we handle these issues and ourselves, and identify the United States as one of the worst and most consistent violators of international law. So we hope that's useful to folks, and thanks. We've really been moved by also by the number and the quality of people in Pittsburgh that are coming out to speak out against war.
My name is Frank Smith, and basically the reason why I guess the war is just basically, well, I'm just killing to begin with. Plus, I just see basically this as a continuation of U.S. policy from the past, And basically, the people we're supporting are the same type of anti-democratic, racist, right-wing people we supported in the past, I don't think this is the answer. I don't think bombing the Afghan people, and they say they're not killing civilians. I don't know how you can drop that many bombs, I tell you, the bombs on country, especially after the Taliban supposedly moved out of Kabul. I mean, who are they hitting? I mean, most of the people that are left are civilians, and they've already been through, been used as pawns at war against the Soviet Union. Plus, then we abandoned them and led them to a civil war. There's nothing left to bomb there. You know, it's just causing more misery. And I just don't think this is the answer. I've talked to my coworkers. Most of them support this, but they're not real gung-ho, but they support this. They have a lot of questions. I found at least a half dozen who would possibly get involved in something like this. And that's what I'm saying. Like, you go to your work, even if the people there might not seem progressive, talk to them, explain things to them, and they might come around, And one guy I've been talking to, he's like pro-war, but I'm going to invite him to this rally next week, because I've been able to talk to him. We've discussed things, It's got heat at times, But, he's not real, I mean, he's for the war, but it's a real superficial support, And he doesn't really know all the issues that are going on. I don't think any of us know, because we're really not getting any information, I think one of the demands we're going to make is just for them to know what's going on, what have they agreed to, who are they actually working with, what have we been committed to as a nation. Because I don't think you can live in a so-called democracy and they're shutting off everyone, And now Bush is saying, well, he's not going to like allow the media to access to the news conferences in the South. And so it'd be a select few politicians, I mean, in my mind, that's not a democracy, And with that, the police state they're trying to deal with. This morning, they just passed, the House passed a so-called anti-terrorism bill, that give more power to the police, and basically make anyone that opposes the government a terrorist, In my mind, that's not a democracy, So I think we're really facing a lot of dangers here, And I think we really need to wake up and look at where we're going. And I guess that's all I got to say.
My name is Steve Donahue. I intend to write a letter to Senator Specter and Santorum this weekend, asking them to please add United States. This won't be an exclusive list, but add United States to that list of terrorist countries which is floating around. I began to get concerned years ago when I was in high school, when I learned about how the democratically elected president of Chile was overthrown with the help and support of the U.S. government, and then the bloody dictatorship of Pinochet, which we supported. And if he wasn't a terrorist, who is? The president has told us we now have a war against terrorism. And I think we've better start questioning just what a terrorist is. I think what we're going to find out is that who a terrorist is depends on which government's doing the defining. Our State Department will give us a list of terrorists. These will be people who are fighting for policies which our government does not appreciate. Whereas the death squads that operated in Central America for years, the people who we train at the School of the Americas down in Fort Benning in psychological warfare and torture techniques certainly are not terrorists. The hypocrisy of our foreign policy to me is just astounding. And you know, how do you talk to Joe Sixpack? I hope hypocrisy isn't too big a word. I've done blue collar work all my life. I learned what I learned by going to rallies and by reading the paper and by listening to my gut when I saw the news on TV. We're worried about our water supplies right now. The FBI was over in Washington this week, and they told some committee that our water supplies are in danger of being contaminated by terrorists. And I thought, yeah, that might happen. And I thought, wonder where they'd learn it. I'm thinking, what country in history went over to a country, bombed their water system to total hell, and then, through a series of sanctions, has forbade them even chlorine to purify their water? Well, that country's Iraq. And 5,000 children a month have been dying from things like dysentery because they drink in sewer water, and we're worried about our water. We've done it. I'm always amazed. The things we're most afraid of are the things we've visited on others already. And we're afraid when they come back and get us. You say these things and people will say you don't care about the people who died in New York City and the Pentagon. And I care very much about that. I can hardly eat for a week after that. I was in just stunned. I think a good legacy for the poor innocents who were murdered in New York City and at the Pentagon, a good legacy for them would be as if their deaths led us to reevaluate our entire foreign policy, how we deal with other countries. Are we willing to be one among many, or do we have to be the dictator to the world? I'm afraid we're going to miss this opportunity. I'm afraid the answer is going to be we're going to go bomb the hell out of other countries and we're going to force our way on others. Colin Powell's in India right now, or he was there yesterday, telling the Indians, please don't attack Pakistan, even though they're committing terrorist attacks in the Kashmir. So it's going to be the business as usual. Don't do what we do. I hope we don't miss this opportunity to reevaluate the way we do things. And to become one country or one country among many in this world. And to treat other countries with justice, to be willing to be just one among many, I think that would be a great legacy for the innocents who were murdered in New York. We've got to stop. Not one more bomb should fall in Afghanistan. Not one more bomb should fall in Iraq. Not one more bomb should fall anywhere. Thanks.
My name is Tim Vining, Thomas Merton Center, and as a way of thanking Vincent for organizing this event, I'm going to disagree slightly with something he said. And one of the things he said is that globalization caused the terrorist attack, or it caused the war, I think he said. And I don't think globalization caused the war. I think globalization was a war, and it still is a war. And that the war did not start on September 11th. It started long before that. It started way even before the United States started imposing sanctions on Iraq. So I think it's very important as we discuss this, as we have a talking point, and how do we identify who the villains are and who's the enemy and who's the terrorist, that we realize that American people need to know this war began before September 11th. So what happened on September 11th was a retaliation against the United States for some of the violence that we have inflicted on the rest of the world. Is it legitimate? No. Was it justified? I don't think so, because it targeted innocent civilians. But we started that war long before September 11th. So we keep the September 11th date in our head. Many of us are continuing to mourning the dead, but we need to also mourn the dead in Afghanistan. We need to mourn the dead throughout Latin America who are dead because of our U.S. policies. We need to continue to mourn those victims throughout this world in Iraq. and that this war did start before September 11th. Some of us are going down, I know, on the 21st of October to State College. If you're interested, let us know, to hear Kathy Kelly to speak about the Iraqi sanctions. Many times some people since the September 11th attack asked some of us in the peace movement and said, what should we be doing? And I think the best answer is we need to do what we were doing before the attack. We need to keep trying to educate the American public. Maybe, perhaps, more Americans will be asking the question, why do they hate us so much? And we can give answers for that. But we need to keep doing what we've been doing before. We need to keep speaking out against the sanctions in Iraq. We need to keep trying to get rid of the military bases in Saudi Arabia. All those things that give a breeding ground for terrorism to flourish, including the things in this country that are a breeding ground for terrorism to flourish, like the restrictions of civil liberties, not being able to speak out publicly, having our phones wiretapped even more than they already are. Those are the things we need to continue to keep the context before the American people, that it's not just Osama bin Laden attacking us on September 11th, and we need to respond. But the war began long before that.
My name is Troy Jones, and for those of you who can see my shirt, I'm sorry, it is pre-owned. I'm not into globalization myself. I did prepare a couple of statements. I thought preparation would be best. I don't typically do that, but one must, I guess, weigh their words carefully nowadays. So here it is. I want to open by saying something about the enormous amount of media dedicated to marginalizing voices which dissent with the U.S. federal government's military response to the crimes against humanity committed September 11th of this year. According to the status quo, dissenters are apparently using the atrocity as a pretext to advance a political agenda because they're naive, idealistic, or worse yet, even sympathetic or supportive of terror. As an American citizen and a veteran of active duty military service, my personal political agenda before September 11th was the advancement of global human rights and ecological sustainability. As I speak to you now, I unapologetically advocate the same. And in doing so, I'd like to recommend that we, as people of goodwill and conscience, turn the light of critical inquiry to another possible state-sanctioned agenda, and that is to ensure that the events of September 11th will neither mitigate U.S. dependency on foreign energy stocks, particularly in the Middle East and Central Asia, nor commence a larger public discussion of how our uniquely robust appetite for non-renewable extractive resources impacts both the globe and our brothers and sisters with whom we share it. I urge all Americans of goodwill to learn more about implementing alternative fuels and how they can create a truly new world order for both the planet and its people. Thank you.
No, it's not even my microphone. It's interesting enough. Somebody thought that they were a rock star. Left about $1,000 worth of audio equipment at the Club Laga, so they donated it to Blast Furnace Radio. If you happen to be near your computer, which should be your entertainment set, just put it through your stereo or TV speakers or your PA system in your school. BlastFurnaceRadio.org, BlastFurnaceRadio.org. We're on 24/7. And we'll be playing this particular tape too many times. So we're going to have more activities, and we're going to be having more activities here at SEI, the Software Engineering Institute, where a lot of software was made for weapon systems that were used in the Iraqi war and are being used in this war. This will not help your resume. Yes, there we go. It's a temple of death, and this will not help your resume. So if you're looking to get a job, you know, with NPR or something like that, do not hang out with us. This is not going to be wished away. You're not going to light a little candle, maybe a road flare, and it'll go away. But this is going to take some militant action, some civil disobedience. It's going to take some uncivil disobedience. And because we want this war to stop, we don't want to see anyone dying. We don't want to see everyone scared half to death to open up their mail, especially our politicians. We do not want them to be scared about opening their mail or having somebody be paid $5 an hour to open their mail. And so, as Karl Marx once said, that the end result of capitalism is that we would be afraid of each other. No, he never said that. So anyway, thank you very, very much. Sounds good, doesn't it? It happened. And so ends today's little peace rally. We're going to have a bigger peace rally where you're all going to be able to speak. It's going to be another open mic. Tim.